And joining us now is a fine columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune, a longtime friend, Kevin Acey, covering the Chargers. Kevin, I want to start first and foremost with the game that was played before the Chargers' bye last weekend, the Monday Nighter, 24-point meltdown for the whole country to see. What would be the mindset of this Charger team after such a devastating loss?
Well, fortunately, they had the bye. And I say that because, you know, the players in the locker room are always talking about, oh, want to play right away, get the taste out of their mouth. No, this team needed to kind of wallow in that and you know, get away from it because, wow, it was bad. Forget that it was coming on the heels of New Orleans Saints scoring 17 unanswered points.
Right.
I mean, that was historic. It was historic, and you just never would have thought of it. Just the probability, the way the momentum was, all that, the way they'd owned Peyton Manning, the fact that they had talked, you know, really surprisingly openly prior to the game about it being very important. An October 15 game that they were talking about having a playoff feel. And there they were up 24-0, and they lost, and they lost bad. And really, to them, you know, it's rare that the media and the players, you know, can get on the same page. But, I mean, it did to the players signal a shift or a possible shift in the AFC West.
Wow. So the bye does give them a chance maybe to let both of those games settle in and I'm not going to say forgotten, but at least not torment them possibly as much. But they, from the Browns' perspective, you know, you're thinking about a team that comes in certainly angry and determined to show that it is better than that. I would think that's the kind of group that's getting together in San Diego this week.
It better be. And obviously they get back to work in earnest this week. It's what they say they will. Obviously the guys I talk to tend, you know, to be the kind of guys who you would, I believe, and would expect to be angry and to you know, be the guys calling the meetings and the, you know, leading the charge and all that. And, you know, oftentimes not those guys you have to worry about. So at this point, if you, you know, hear skepticism in my voice, it's just that, you know, this is the season of show me for the Chargers. And, you know, hey, they better come in, and they're very aware they're playing the Cleveland Browns, then they host Kansas City, then they go to Tampa Bay before they go back to Denver. There, you know, this isn't the meat of their schedule, it wouldn't seem like. And so they're aware they need to get some winning going here, but I just, you know, just kind of kicking back, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, you'll believe it when you see it. Starting the conversation with the Chargers, you always go with Philip Rivers, their quarterback, who certainly has the ability to light things up, to do what was necessary to get that big lead, for instance, over the Broncos. And that's going to have to be the hope that this team has going against a Browns team defensively that actually had a better game against the pass than the run last week against the Colts. But how do you see that opportunity in that matchup for Rivers to have a big day?
Philip is capable of that virtually every week. And, you know, the real thing with Philip is, the thing that stands out to me is just the contrast between 2007, 8, 9, even 10, and the last year and a half. Just absolutely amazing in every way. And it comes down to how comfortable is he, and he's comfortable right now. The way games have gone is in his head to a certain extent, and then the way he's playing is in his head to a certain extent, and he knows that he's got to shake that he's the guy with the ball, and, you know, he's the guy that has made everybody on this team believe that he's their best reason to be confident, and it's sort of been the opposite of that recently. But Philip, you said it, and you know, I believe you believe it, that this guy's way capable. And I could bore, you know, Clevelandites with I have to make up my own name for people in cities.
I like that. Clevelandites. I think it's Clevelanders, but we'll go with
that. I could bore you with the stats that where in his first five seasons he compared or was better than all of the greats in history.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, I mean, he's mediocre. He's mediocre. And the reason that we think he's terrible is because, what I said about those first 5 years.
Right. And it is, though, this is what I'm gathering, just watching this, studying this Charger team and looking at tape and looking at the stats. It's a team that is really running more of a controlled passing game, right, than that vertical type of game that I think most of us associate with Rivers, because I'm looking at their top four receivers, and two of them, and the second one is the running back Ronnie Brown, and the fourth one is another running back, Ryan Matthews. He's thrown a lot of checkdown throws.
A lot. I believe more than anyone in the NFL, or at least they tried to go a little more vertical last week, or then in the end were forced to, actually. They ultimately wanted to just give the ball to Ryan Matthews to win this game. You're absolutely right. Has to do with there is no Vincent Jackson. Has to do with Antonio Gates missing the game. Robert Meacham and Philip Rivers, you know, just in the last couple weeks, kind of getting together confidence. And, you know, it's a different offense. And the way, of course, teams have played them. Hey, how did the Chargers beat you? Okay, well, we'll take that away. And Ryan Matthews was fumbling the ball. Then Ryan Matthews was out of the game. So teams were, you know, they weren't going to give up that big play. And the couple times Philip has done it, you know, I shouldn't say that. You know, when we talk about a quarterback struggling and his 10 interceptions, which is inexcusable, but it's like, you know, there have been a heck of a lot of good throws, so I just got to say that. But there have been quite a few times, relatively speaking, where Phillip's gone downfield, and it's ended up with an interception. And I got to say, Phillip, bad during a lot of these, and they fall on Phillip. But I got really used to seeing Vincent Jackson not only making incredible catches, but making sure the other team didn't get the ball. And Robert Meacham and Eddie Royal and even Malcolm Floyd don't have that ability, or I don't know. I mean, it's just not in their DNA, evidently, to come back for a ball.
Wow. We're visiting with Kevin Acy. He is a columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune covering the Chargers. Of course, he'll be on hand for Sunday's game at Cleveland Browns Stadium when the Browns take on San Diego. I want to talk about the running game of the Chargers. We mentioned Ryan Matthews, and you said he's had some issues with fumbling. This team also gets other backs involved, Jackie Battle being another guy who is part of this rotation, Ronnie Brown. So it's a little bit of a running by committee approach. And the Browns coming off a game where an allegedly injury depleted Colts team is able to run successfully on them. I mean, that has people wary about the Browns' ability to deal with the run Sunday.
Well, and we're pretty good at exploiting those things, and honestly, a lot of things going on here in San Diego, and I will, but I have not had a chance to really take a look at the Browns and say, hey, maybe I'm taking them lightly, Vic. I don't know. Ryan Matthews is so good. I'm absolutely blown away, and I've been a big fan. Maybe Ryan Matthews wasn't the right pick at the right time, but I'm telling you, he's going to work out for the Chargers as long as he works out the fumbling issues. And he is carrying the ball a lot smarter, and he's running just as hard, and he does things that not a lot of people in this league can do in terms of getting outside and beating the other great athletes that are on the other side of the ball. He is a magnificent runner. So I think that there should be some cause for concern, especially if Phillip, used his bye week to sort of calm down.
Let's talk about the Chargers' defense. Sean Phillips leading the way with 4.5 sacks from his outside linebacker position. Your thoughts on how much pressure they're going to be able to bring on Brandon Whedon, because that's really where it's going to have to start.
Yeah.
And a Browns running game that has been really unable to get on track with Trent Richardson hurting.
Well, the Chargers, I don't know who's going to run on them. They brought in Jerry Johnson, and there's an inside linebacker, Donald Butler, is just one heck of a player. Tequila Spikes, limiting his snaps, playing really good first and second down. I don't know who's going to run against them. Now, the pass rush, yeah, Sean Phillips has 4.5 sacks. That's nice. He's not playing as much. He wants to play more. He's able to be fresh. But the best thing I can say about everybody else in that rotation, except Jared Johnson, who wasn't brought in to get after the passer, and I think they need to play him a little bit less, play Melvin Ingram a little bit more. That's the rookie they drafted 18th.
Right.
The rest of these guys really are just kind of taking up space. I'm talking about Larry English, the 2009 first-round draft pick. Antoine Barbs, who had 10.5 sacks last year. And Ingram, they're not making anything really happen. When it's happening, except for the second half against Denver, when I feel like he turtled, new defensive coordinator John Pagano has been dialing things up and doing a magnificent job channeling Wade Phillips. But in terms of, wow, these guys are creating things, that's not happening. Now, I'll tell you where the Chargers have two young defensive ends, Corey Legit and Kendall Reyes. And you know what? I should add Vaughn Martin in there, too. And in this 3-4 defense, since I've covered the team 8 years now, they haven't had defensive ends that could actually make a difference. Those were guys who just kind of took up space. And now that's where the Chargers' front seven is really different this time. I feel like that, from what I hear about the Browns, this is a nice matchup for the Chargers defensively, offensively, and that maybe some of these things that I'm so down on them about, maybe, you know, for one Sunday it's going to be like, hey, wow, the Chargers really, you know, they can really do some things.
On the back end, though, when we look at some names like Quentin Jammer, certainly Anton Kaysan at the corner positions, and then you got Eric Weddle, Atari Bigby at safety, the Browns have been getting some deep shots, and as you can see, and Josh Gordon being primarily the guy that Brandon Whedon has found on those. How do you see the Chargers secondary holding up against that?
It's a problem, especially without the pressure, because Atari Bigby has not been good, and you know, when you're talking big shots, you're talking two or three a game, right? I mean, that'll kill you, and that's what's been happening. I couldn't think more highly of Eric Weddle. Quentin Jammer is actually, I think, opposing quarterbacks like a 75 rating against him. But there's been one play a game where Quentin is, you know, 32 years old. This is his 11th year in the league. He's never been the fastest guy. He's cheating to do some stuff and, you know, has been getting beat. Antoine Kaysan has been playing real erratically in his contract year. And so, you know, this secondary is definitely the weak link. And a part of that is, because, you know, there's times I go, wow, these guys are playing really well. But you know what? Atari Bigby lets Kaysan down, and boom, you know, it's a 70-yard play.
Right.
Definitely a concern.
All right. Well, great, great breakdown, as we always expect from you. And we appreciate your time, Kevin, and we will see you on Sunday.
Right on, man. Always looking forward to the Cleve.
He is Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union-Tribune joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.